Yeah, with about 100 of us or so at family camp, like you probably noticed today, right? Like maybe you wanted a latte and it wasn't there or something else. Like we don't really function well without all of our pieces, right? But there's also these opportunities in that, like Carl stepping up today. And a lot of times if like you may not even know the ways that we need help, right? So let us know. Or if you got an idea of something God's calling you to, let us know that too. Maybe we can help you with what God wants to do through you. But that last song we were singing about surrender, it's a lot easier to sing it in the church pews than to carry it out, right? And Daniel in his prayer there, he mentioned about we don't have to be afraid to surrender. But I know like there's going to be a temptation to not trust what I'm about to tell you straight from Jesus' mouth. It's not part of our sermon today, but I'm going to tell you straight from Jesus' mouth. He's talking about being a good shepherd, and he says the thief, and it's a touch unclear. Is he talking directly about Satan? Is he talking about leaders that seek their own glory? Either way, here's what he's talking about. Ways of the world, selfish, pride, fear. Where does it lead? He says the thief comes on to steal, kill, and destroy. Kendrick's got it, right? And my guess is there's something in your life you've been following where it's been leading you. And if you're honest, you're like, it's stolen from me and people I care about. Or it's destroyed something good. Or it's killed something good. I want you to actually get in that emotion and realize, like, what's that thing? Whether it's a relationship with one of your kids, whether it's a job opportunity you had, what is it that was good, but following the ways of pride or fear or selfishness, it stole, it killed, it destroyed. Why do I have us pay attention to that? Some stuff looks good until you put your hand on it and get burned by it. And then remembering that it burnt you helps you make the right choice the next time, right? So we don't have to camp out in our past failures. But I want you to know that the stuff in your head that's telling you not to follow Jesus, it's taking you to the places you've probably already been and didn't want to be at. And it's going to try to take you there again, right? Here's how that, then very next verse, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come. This is Jesus himself talking. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. If we're going to obey Jesus, we have to trust that his way is best. We don't have to be afraid of doing things his way. And Jesus is going to push us to be perfect, right? I mean, some of us shy away from that. Like, nobody's perfect or something. But Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about loving your enemies. And he says, love other people the way God loves them. Be perfect like your Heavenly Father's perfect. He's going to take Eric and everybody else in the room that wants to follow him. He's going to take us to love the way that he loves. And it's going to require us to be totally different than we are right now. It's going to be painful along the way. But we can trust Jesus that if we do things his way, he's going to bring us life to the full, just like he has life to the full, right? And so the sermon today is going to get into a little bit of how does that actually work. We're going to see Jesus talk to somebody who it's at a table. We're in this series at a table, right? We're focusing on Jesus and food and Luke. The reason we're focusing on that is we're trying to get to know Jesus better, and we're trying to get to act like Jesus more, right? Trying to love other people the way Jesus loves them. Today, while we're turning to our passage, we can go to this next slide. We're going to be in Luke chapter 14. While you're turning there, I'd love for you to turn there. If you got a Bible in front of you, there's ones in the pews as well. We got this picture of a couch, and the reason I have that up there, if you've been here for a while, you may have heard this story before. I won't go into all the details, but when I was maybe 22 or so, I'd been following Jesus for a while. I'd been trying to grow in Jesus, and then I got to a spot where I didn't want to go further. Jesus is pushing me. And the reason I knew I didn't want to go further is I had set up an appointment, had an accountability group of guys I was trying to grow in, and they'd push me like, this is your next step. This is the next thing you do. And I'd run out of excuses. I don't know if any of us has ever been there. Like, you got people trying to push you, and finally you run out of excuses, and you say, like, fine, I'll go do that thing. But when it came down to go do that thing, I did something weird that I'd never done, that I remembered at least before. Is I got up to go, it was time to leave. And then instead of going to my apartment door, I went back to my couch and sat down because I didn't want to go. How many other in the room, you've started making good changes with God, and then you hit a spot where you're like, I don't actually want to go any further. Anybody else ever been there? My guess is if you've been following God for very long, like he will push you to spots where you're like, I said I wanted you, Jesus, but not that part. Like not that way. Like I'm okay just being kind of good, right? Like I don't want to go the whole way over there. If you're following Jesus close, he's going to push you to places where it feels like you're picking up a cross, like a torture device to kill you. Like that's how Jesus describes it. Like it's going to feel like a death to do the next right thing with Jesus sometimes. And sometimes people make it sound like it's all going to be easy. You just got to say a prayer and it's all forgiveness. And it Jesus will today change your life, accept you, wrap his arms around you. It is easy to get started with Jesus. But Jesus is going to push you into spots where some of you, the part of you that needs to die, is going to be screaming like, don't go there. And Jesus isn't going to make you follow him. He's going to let you choose whether you obey or not. Now, sometimes we're such a mess, we got to keep saying like, Jesus, help me. I'm sorry I messed up, right? We don't get it right the first time always, or maybe ever. But in Luke 14, we're going to see Jesus push on some people that need to change. And we're going to see, how does Jesus do it? Because it's easy to say like, oh yeah, Jesus brings life to the full. Like, I want that. But how does it work? What do? How does this function, right? We're going to talk about. So Luke 14, if you were here last week, we were reading the beginning of the story. Jesus is at a prominent, like a well-off Pharisee, like a religious leader who thinks that they're special with God. And sounds like he's affluent from the way he gets described. Like he's got a lot of money, it sounds like, or at least more than others. And Jesus is at his house. There's already been stuff going on last week. If you want to read the beginning of the chapter. But we're going to pick up in verse 12. And Luke 14, starting in verse 12, it's going to be here on the screen. So it says, then Jesus said to his host, this is the prominent Pharisee, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. We'll pause this there for just a second. In the ancient world, in the Middle East, like, it was real important who you ate with. It showed your status, right? It was a big, big deal. So here he's saying, like, don't do it the regular way. Don't invite your friends and the people at the same level status-wise as you. He says, if you do, they might invite you back and you'll be repaid. This idea of, you know, I invite Jason over for lunch, then Jason invites me over for lunch. Like, I wasn't really generous. We're just scratching each other's back type of thing, right? There's no giving in that, right? Verse 13. Jesus says, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Now, we're going to pause again before we move on. This sounds very romantic, and like it's easy to read the Gospels and be like, Jesus is a hero, and he is a hero. It's different to change your own plans for lunch today and say, who are the people that nobody else wants to be around? I'm going to go be around them. Like it's different, right? It loses some of its like romanticism and you start to have like reasons or problems or responsibilities, or like Wayne was saying in Sunday school, I bet these people call them responsibilities, but they're really just excuses, right? Verse 14, Jesus says, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So the principle Jesus is given here is that God takes note when we're good to people that there's no hope that they could be good back in the same way. That God's going to reward that. There's a lot we could unpack with that. I'm going to hit surface level right at first, and then we're going to go down to a deeper principle. So here's the surface level. It's never bad to take a clear teaching from Jesus and say, I'm going to go do that, right? Like you'll be better off than most people who sit around in churches if you're like, whatever Jesus clearly said, I'm going to go do it, right? Like you might get yourself into problems, but there'll be good problems to be in, right? Like Jesus will have a lot of grace for whatever you do. If it's like, you said it, I tried to do it, like that's a good spot to be at. So the real simple here, the bring it to the table, yeah, you're on the right track. Bring it to the table, a simple application this week, the next slide here, Daniel, is host somebody who can't return the favor. Now, if you're in a room with 17 other bunk beds or something, right, like it might not be this like elaborate dinner you host somebody at, but I bet everybody in this room this week will have something that's good that you could share with somebody who is not going to be able to give that same thing back to you anytime soon. Well, there's no hope that they could return the favor. It might just be giving them a ride. You might think, like, there's no way that guy's ever going to have a car, right? Like, even if I need a ride in the future, he's never going to give me a ride. Like, that would be similar, right? Okay, so I'm not saying you got to have a big kitchen to do this. What Jesus was saying is, instead of helping out the people that are on the same level as you, who will help you out on your rainy day, help out somebody who there's no chance they could help you out. Now, how many people hear that and you're like, I'm up for doing that? Like, I'm up for this week helping somebody who I don't think can help me back. That's quite a bit of folks in the room. Like, it's good. Some of you don't have the hands up. Like, I don't know what's going on, right? But you know what's going on and you're here. I'm glad you're in the room, right? A little bit more from the Sermon on the Mount. I was quoting that earlier today. The very end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are the people who hear the words I say and to put them into practice, right? Jesus talks about there's going to be storms in our life, and the stuff that we've done out of obedience is going to last, right? So even though I'm going to take us a different step, this is worth your time, right? Like Jesus said it, let's do it. Now, why I'm going to take it further is I'm going to bring us back into the kitchen a little bit of like, this is how I think Jesus works on us, right? Jesus purifies us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. There's two promises from Jesus. All of us want forgiveness, and that's great. Like, we need forgiveness. But Jesus says, when you sign up with me, when you say, Jesus, I did it wrong and I need your help, please forgive me, Jesus isn't just forgive you. He's saying, I'm gonna get in your life and purify you. I'm going to give you the gift of righteousness, Jake. Like, without Jesus, I can't be a good man. But when he gives me the gift of righteousness, it's not just forgiveness. It's he's going to work on me until I am a good man, right? He's going to keep pushing until I can do the things he would do. How does he push? Like, what does that look like? How do we open up to be blessed? Like, how do we open up our hand to God and say, fill me up? If you were with us the last few weeks, I think it's Luke 11, Jesus is talking to a group of Pharisees, and he just, like, reams them, right? It's, like, aggressive, 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 like, about how bad they are. But in the middle of all that, like, reprimand, actually early on in it, he has this little bit of hope. He's talking about how hypocritical they are, how just terrible their inside condition is. But then he says, like, but give what you have to the poor, and it'll clean the inside. You see, for the Pharisees back then, they had all these judgmental standards where they separated themselves out from people they deemed unclean, but that also included, like, the poor, the crippled, those sorts of folks, right? So for a rich Pharisee like this guy, if he starts inviting blind people and crippled people over to his house, what's going to happen to his life? All those buddies that made it easy to be judgmental as he sat around his table, going to change when he starts to know these different people by name. If you hang out and eat meals with people that you've been judging, at some point you see them do something that's respectable, right? At some point he's going to see a blind guy do something way more noble than what his Pharisee buddies have been doing. And it starts to change your heart on the inside. Like, maybe I've been wrong, right? There's also the reality of, like, if you're rich and you start making friends with a bunch of people that don't have anything, it's going to be hard to stay rich. Like, it's just going to be a challenge, right? Like, unless you're inventing all new stuff all the time. You know, I mean, like, his whole life's going to get turned upside down. The sort of stuff he can afford to feed himself, if he's also feeding it to a bunch of other poor people, like, the menu's going to have to change, right? He can't do it for everybody the way he would do it for himself, right? His friends are going to have to change. People are going to start judging him because of his friends. He's going to feel what it feels like to get judged, right? Do you start to see how, like, if he would just do this one command from Jesus, it starts to make it easier for him to have a heart that's less judgmental, that's more generous, that's more loving? Sometimes we don't understand, like, well, Jesus, why are you asking me to do this? If you will obey Jesus, you're opening up the dark corners of your heart to the sunlight. Like, Jesus's light comes in when you open up, right? It's not that we earn goodness. It's like Jesus will graciously meet us right where we're at, but he is going to give us the steps to get well. And, like, the step here, he's leading the Pharisee to wind up loving some people that he needs to love for his own sake. Like, he's the spiritually poor one, right? Like, all these people that Jesus mentions, the blind, the crippled, those folks, those are the ones getting right with God. Those are the ones that are going to enjoy God's kingdom and his feast forever. Whereas, like, the Pharisees are in danger of getting cast out and burning forever, right? I mean, they're the ones in danger. They need help. I mean, it's all upside down, right? But you see what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, like, here's what you need to do. Now, for some of us in the room, you're like, I got lots of homeless friends. It's no big deal for me to go have lunch with the homeless folks. Like, that's great. Like, you should keep doing it. That's the sort of thing Jesus would do. But I wonder, is there some other issue in your heart that if Jesus sat down and had lunch with you today, he would push you to do something that would turn your life upside down? Some of you are totally fine picking somebody up that's and getting them to detox or something like that. But you just, like, cannot handle being disrespected or something, right? And you wonder, like, is that, Jesus gets disrespected a lot. And he chooses when to get angry. There's times to get angry, but it's not just every time somebody disrespects him, right? Whoever you are, myself included, like, Jesus would come into our lives and tell us, like, there's something big for Jake Taylor to work on, right? And he would give us forgiveness, but he will also give us, like, here's some sort of thing to do that's going to open you up to more of me. And that first step I gave of, like, host somebody that can't repay you, like, that's something you could do this afternoon. 2 o'clock today, you could be like, check, I got Jake's challenge done. I'm ready to talk about it next week. But the thing Jesus asked this Pharisee to do, it's going to mess up his whole life. If he does it that way, his friends are going to end up changing. His economics are going to be different. If he's married, his marriage dynamics are going to, there's going to be conversations, at least, about, like, a lot in our life has changed, right? Are you doing anything? Are you letting Jesus have that kind of access? When we say, like, Jesus, I surrender all, are we saying, like, Jesus, if you tell me to do something that's going to totally turn my life upside down, like, I'll do it? So I want to go to this next slide. It doesn't have to be so complicated. That idea was here, like, the contrary action Jesus wants you to take, the way to get right with God, it's probably not complicated. Just like the Pharisees being generous to people that don't have anything to repay you, like, that's a simple idea, but it would change his whole life to obey it. My guess is you don't need, like, 17 complicated things to fix your life. You probably need some sort of principle that Jesus has given you, and then just do it. And do it in a way that's different, that's weird, that's more than what a normal person would do. So the Pharisee was called to this radical generosity. That's what I'm calling it. This next slide. I think that's the next slide. Yeah. Because what the Pharisee was not called to was to write a check to Habitat Humanity or some other great organization, right? It's not that that's bad. Like, we've done stuff with Habitat in the past year. They've done a lot to help people in independence. But that's different than inviting a bunch of people over to your house and becoming close with them. It's a lot messier to get involved with people and get close with them. What's the messy thing that would kind of put your life out of control that Jesus wants you to do? What's the thing you see Jesus do a lot in the gospel that you're like, well, I can't really do that? I want to give you one more tip before we pray. Well, a couple of thoughts quick here before we do this. So one, if you want to go even deeper on this thought of like crazy generosity, commentchange.com and a guy named Shane Claiborne, I've got little handouts with some quotes from him. Shane is kind of a wild guy. I've got to meet him before, but he really seriously is trying to live out the gospel in a strange way. If you're like, oh, I want to know more about what it means to see that Jesus said, like, go help the poor in a radical way. What does that look like in Philadelphia? Like, Shane has tried to live that out. So if you want to take that deeper, check out the website and these little handouts. But last thing I want to talk to you about before I want to pray a blessing over you is that what I've talked about today is surrendering to Jesus to do something that scares you, right? So if Eddie's going to follow Jesus in a brand new way, or if Cleveland's going to follow Jesus to another extent that he's not ever done before, it can get real scary. I just want to give you one last tip that I think fits how Jesus sent out his disciples. And that's that a lot of stuff in life that's very scary if you do it all by yourself, it can become a lot more of an adventure and a lot more fun if you do it with somebody else. So I have a little picture here for me in the back of a truck. Not a safe way to get around. This is me at like 20 years old or something, a lot longer hair. But you'll notice this is like back before like selfie sticks and stuff. I didn't take this picture. This is me. I got to hitchhike down to southern Texas one time. Hitchhiking all by yourself. I've picked up some hitchhikers that were not having a fun time. John, who took this picture, and I did it together, and it was a lot more fun because John was there. I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but like, I think you guys probably have moments like that too, where you did something that had you done it all by yourself, it would have just been scary and miserable. But because you did it with somebody else, it had more fun, right? It had more adventure, even if it had some bad moments, right? Whatever Jesus is laying on your heart to do, it's okay to say, Jesus, will you have somebody go with me? Can somebody do this with me? Like, you can have that sort of conversation with Jesus, and it's a lot more fun to start having barbecues in your neighborhood with people that make you a little uncomfortable if you do it with a buddy, right? Like, it's better than by yourself, right? Whatever you're unsure of, you're like, I feel Jesus telling me to do it, but I'm scared. Ask Jesus, like, can you send me somebody else that wants to do the same thing, right? And have open eyes, maybe even ask some other people, like, Dave, would you do this with me or whatever, right? I want to pray a blessing over you guys. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, I thank you for all the Maywood folks that went to family camp. I pray you bless their travel coming back. But Jesus, I pray for each person in this room who wants to step up and surrender in a new way. They want to follow you in a way that you can change their life. I pray you'd give them a friend who loves you and who wants to do the same mission. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us. Thank you for forgiving us and purifying us when we turn to you. In your name we pray. Amen.